Hello there, folks. It's Cliff and John again with a sports roundup for you. And John will be covering, as usual, the local goings-on with Stoke and Vale and Crewe as we build up towards the new season. I think, actually, Port Vale have got another fixture tonight or tomorrow night, I think. However, John will fill you all with the information there. So in the meantime, I just wanted to read a piece out to you that Mike Pedgick, the ex-Stoke City footballer, of course, famous, and he's a veteran taekwondo expert now and competes in lots of competitions across the world, I think, for that sport. But in his column last week in The Green and in The Sentinel, he said, "What a fantastic weekend of sport we witnessed last Saturday and Sunday with the British and Irish Lions and the Lionesses football team. Both of them delivered on the big stage, with the Lions winning the best of three series against Australia and the Lionesses winning the Euros. And although they were different sports, they were one big lesson which both sets of players taught us. And that is, whatever situation you find yourselves in, keep battling, keep going, and you can turn the tide. The Lions overcame the biggest deficit in their history to move 2-0 up after trailing 23-5 after half an hour in the first match. A try in the final minute then secured a 29-26 victory, and in the process broke an 87-year-old record. The biggest comebacks to win by the Lions was when they trailed by 10 points back in 1938 in South Africa. Such a remarkable statistic, just shows you what can be achieved with the will to fight and battle a lost cause. And when the chips are down, have the belief that you can turn around the situation you're in." Over to the Lionesses, the England football ladies. I should call them ladies. I'm not sure if it should be women. Forgive me if that upsets anybody. I don't think it will. However, the Lionesses were the same in attitude. They needed a penalty shootout to beat Spain in the final of the European competition. But it was a game before which showed their resilience. They had required late equalisers and penalties to make their way through to the tournament final, although they never once threw in the towel. These are the traits which can be applied to all forms of sport and to life in general as well. From the Lionesses' point of view, they had been in tight situations before and they knew they could get out of them. That stood them in good stead. And Mike carries on to say, "I spoke last week about the different style of play that Spain had, but England just hung in there. It's okay having the bulk of possession, but it's down to what you actually do with it. And England didn't let them settle. And what a great story it is that former Stoke City goalkeeper Hannah Hampton was a hero again in the penalty shootout. Hannah, along with all her teammates and the men in the Lions squad, are perfect examples for youngsters and for everyone. There was the drive, the determination to succeed, and those attributes are essential in professional sport. And the achievements of the Lions and Lionesses are truly inspirational." So over to you, John.
Hi, folks. It's John here again to bring you your sports roundup. And we start with Stoke City, who were away to Crewe, winning 2-1. Then at home to Wolves, making a 1-1 draw. Their next game was at home to Burnley, winning 1-0, with Ben Wilmot scoring. Then, within an hour, left to play, Josh Laurent, who used to play for us, now plays for Burnley, received his second yellow card and he was off for an early bath. Stoke's first game this season is home to Derby, and we go into the game with some trepidation here. Is our goalkeeper Victor Johansson going, or is he staying? Rumours say he might go to West Ham, but we don't know. But Stoke is saying that he's staying put at the moment. I hope he does, because we badly need him. Over to you, Cliff.
Thank you, John. And talking about the Lionesses, I've now got a small mention for the women's rugby. And the headline in the iSport is that no place like home for Jones as England look to regain the Women's World Cup. Meg Jones is polishing her weapons and suiting up to step out in the ultimate gladiator arena this summer. The 28-year-old is part of John Mitchell's Red Roses squad for the upcoming Women's Rugby World Cup, which takes place on English soil, with a final on the 27th of September. So, we're into August already. It won't be that far away, will it? However, for Jones, there's one location that sticks out in her mind above all else, with the possibility of winning the World Cup in front of a sold-out home crowd at Twickenham, looming large. Coming out of that tunnel, it's literally tunnel vision, she said. It just opens up into this huge arena, this battle area, where you're like, this is where we are going to go to war. That's the feeling I like, particularly when you see the flags waving all around the crowd. It's just that sense that there's a battle ahead, and what an arena to be in it for. Hopefully we will get that opportunity. So good luck to the rugby lionesses trying to cash in after the football successes. Just on to a couple of brief cricket ones, the women's cricket again. I'll get concentrate on the women's sports at the moment, but we'll come back to the five test matches against India shortly. But the England's women defeat against India is a great preparation for the World Cup, says Bell. So this is a bit like Mike Pedgick saying, well, you know, we learn from our mistakes, don't we, and hopefully improve. England bowler Lauren Bell believes that this summer's series against India has served as great preparation for the upcoming 50-over World Cup. Under new head coach Charlotte Edwards, England completed a clean sweep against the West Indies, but then fell to defeat against India. England were beaten 3-2 in the T20 series and 2-1 in the one-day international 50 overs. But with the World Cup fast approaching, Bell insisted there's plenty to learn from this summer. We've obviously had two fairly different series, she said. We had the West Indies that everyone performed well, and India challenged us a lot more. It's exciting seeing that we are going to come up against some of the best teams, and I think situations like the India series we just had will be great preparation. You learn so much more when you play against top teams. And of course, in those England matches, our local lass, Danny Wyatt Hodges, as she's now known, she married her girlfriend and has now added her surname to hers, but she batted very well in the T20s, but didn't feature, I don't think, in the 50 over matches, but still she's there, and we'll see whether hopefully she's included in the squad for the World Cup in a little bit later on. Thanks, John.
Now let's look at Port Vale, who played Birmingham, losing 2-0, then making a draw 1-1 at Altrincham. They were then away to Rotherham, losing 2-1, with two red cards in this game, one for Rotherham's Zed Jules in the 77th minute, and then Jay Headley in the 32nd minute. Vale's next game is at home to Cardiff, and that's tomorrow night, and this puts Vale 16th in the table.
Thanks, John. Just a quickie on a bit of bad news for sports, really, on the discrimination front. There's a record number of abuse reports. Kick It Out, which is the charity that deals with reports of discrimination and is an anti-discrimination charity, but they revealed that during the 2024-25 season, almost 1,400 reports of discrimination were given to them. Which is now a new record, up from the 1,300 plus that they had last season. The data shows a rise in sexism, transphobia and faith-based abuse, with racism remaining the most reported form of discrimination. There was a big spike in sexism and misogyny, with the number of complaints rising by 67%, with a rise also in youth football. Kick It Out chief exec Samuel Okafor said, "These figures show that discrimination remains deeply embedded across the game, but the rise in abuse in youth football should be a wake-up call. No one should be facing hostility simply for taking part." It's a sad fact. It's probably down to the greater publicity that we have as well now, that the more of these keyboard warriors sit at home abusing people on their computers, don't they? So hope that they get found out. And just very briefly on football again, not to interfere with John's report, but a Manchester United supporters group has announced a fresh protest against the Glazer family and, for the first time, Sir Jim Ratcliffe ahead of their Premier League opener against Arsenal. The 1958 organisation have had several demonstrations in recent years calling for a change in ownership and will march to Old Trafford on the 17th of August with new banners produced reading "Jim can't fix this," as Ratcliffe owns an almost 30% stake in United and he's overseen wide, often unpopular changes since taking over the day-to-day operational control from the Glaciers in February 24. A spokesman for the 1958 said, 20 years of the Glazers and their debt mounting is 20 years too long. Enough is enough.
Right now, let's look at Crewe, who were away to Salford winning 3-1. And their next game is at home to Accrington Stanley, and this puts Crewe second in the table. Well, folks, sorry for this being so short, but as the season gets underway, I'm hoping that I will get more details for you. Until then, stay safe and well. Until next time.
Thanks a lot, John. And I'll just wind up then with some thoughts on the last five test matches that we had against India this summer. And I can honestly say, from a personal point of view, I think it's the most exciting, dramatic and emotional 25 days, because every test went to the 5 days and went the full course. Every test was very unpredictable, and refreshingly, it could have swung either way almost on every single day of those five. But it ended up with a 2-2 draw, with England winning two and West Indies... it ended up with England winning 2-1 on the test, but it was a draw overall for the five matches. And there's a big piece in the Eye which has got the 25 moments that made this England versus India series the best since 2005 Ashes, and I won't go through all of them, but Chris Stocks, the reporter, said that in the best test series seen in these shores since the 2005 Ashes, England and India traded blows over 25 captivating days to light up a summer that underlined the primacy of long-form cricket. India eventually won a thrilling fifth and final test at the Oval that could easily have gone England's way. Sorry, they did win two and England won two, and one was actually drawn. Such was the closeness of the series, eventually drawn 2-2, that was not decided until 56 minutes into the final day, when again everybody thought it was all over and England would win. On the night before, came the morning, England collapsed and India won it. But one of the major things that came out of it, I think, of his 25 here, which shows the spirit again, going back to Mike Pedgick, and the spirit of battling on and doing your very best in all circumstances, was the test bowler and batsman, Wokes, sorry. He'd fallen over the boundary and dislocated his shoulder the day before. He'd only got one arm. He'd got his arm strapped up in a sling under his jumper, and with one arm and one hand on the bat, of course, he came in to bat at the very end of that match on the fifth day. England were 9 wickets down. They needed 17 runs to win on the final morning of the series, and he walked out with his left arm in his jumper to join Gus Atkinson at the crease. He didn't face a ball, but was fighting the pain as he had to run up and down to try and chip away those 17 runs. And unfortunately, he didn't quite manage it, and England went down at the end because Atkinson got bowled. So we lost that test match and drew the series. But the main star from the Indian point of view was a gentleman, Siraj, who played in every test. He bowled 185 overs in the five matches, and it was apt that he sealed a thrilling six-run series-levelling win for India when he bowled Atkinson out 56 minutes into the final day to conclude an instant classic. But the courage of a man to go out with one arm and try and face bowlers at 90 miles an hour, fortunately he didn't have to, because it would have been almost suicidal. But it just showed that he wasn't going to give up and stay in the pavilion and let them walk away with it. He came out to try and do his very best. So I think that's a good lesson for all of us, indeed, folks, from sport, a good lesson for life as well. However bad things get, we just have to keep trying to carry on and do our best. So thanks very much to John. and thanks to all of you for your time. And as John said, please stay safe and well, and don't be frightened again. As we said last time, John said, anything you want us to cover, any particular sport, just please let us know, phone the office or phone Tim, or we can include something for you in future. So thanks very much for that, and enjoy your sport until we meet again in a couple of weeks.